pardon me, thou bleeding piece of earth, that I am meek and gentle with these butchers. Thou art the ruins of the noblest man that ever lived in the tide of times. Woe to the hand that shed this costly blood. Over thy wounds now do I prophesy, which like dumb mouths do ope their ruby lips to beg the voice and utterance of my tongue. A curse shall light upon the limbs of men. Domestic fury and fierce civil strife shall cumber all the parts of Italy. Blood and destruction shall be so in use, and dreadful objects so familiar, that mothers shall but smile when they behold their infants quartered with the hands of war, all pity choked with custom of fell deeds, and Caesar's spirit, ranging for revenge, with 80 by his side, come hot from hell, shall in these confines with a monarch's voice cry havoc, and let slip the dogs of war, that this foul deed shall smell above the earth with carrion men groaning for burial.
Enter Octavius' servant.
You serve Octavius Caesar, do you not?
I do, Mark Antony.
Caesar did right for him to come to Rome.
He did receive his letters and is coming, and bid me say to you by word of mouth, oh, Caesar.
Seeing the body.
Thy heart is big. Get thee apart and weep. Passion, I see, is catching, for mine eyes, seeing those beads of sorrow stand in thine, began to water. Is thy master coming?
He lies tonight within 7 leagues of Rome.
Post back with speed, and tell him what hath chanced. Here is a mourning Rome, a dangerous Rome, no Rome of safety for Octavius yet. Hie hence and tell him so, yet stay a while. Thou shalt not back till I have borne this course into the marketplace. There shall I try in my oration how the people take the cruel issue of these bloody men, according to the which thou shalt discourse to young Octavius of the state of things. Lend me your hand.
Exit. Scene 2, the Forum. Enter Brutus and goes into the pulpit, and Cassius with the plebeians.
We will be satisfied. Let us be satisfied.
Then follow me and give me audience, friends. Cassius, go you into the other street and part the numbers. Those that will hear me speak, let them stay here. Those that will follow Cassius, go with him. And public reasons shall be rendered of Caesar's death.
I will hear Brutus speak.
I will hear Cassius, and compare their reasons when severally we hear them rendered.
Exit Cassius with some of the plebeians.
The noble Brutus is ascended. Silence.
Be patient till the last. Romans, countrymen, and lovers, hear me for my cause, and be silent that you may hear. Believe me for mine honor, and have respect to mine honor, that you may believe. Censure me in your wisdom, and awake your senses, that you may the better judge. If there be any in this assembly, any dear friend of Caesar's, to him I say that Brutus's love to Caesar was no less than his. If then that friend demand why Brutus rose against Caesar, this is my answer. Not that I loved Caesar less, but that I love Rome more. Had you rather Caesar were living and die all slaves than that Caesar were dead, to live all free men? As Caesar loved me, I weep for him. As he was fortunate, I rejoice at it. As he was valiant, I honor him. But as he was ambitious, I slew him. There is tears for his love, joy for his fortune, honor for his valor, and death for his ambition. Who is here so base that would be a bondman? If any, speak, for him have I offended. Who is here so rude that would not be a Roman? If any, speak, for him have I offended. Who is here so vile that will not love his country. If any, speak, for him have I offended. I pause for a reply.
None, Brutus, none.
Then none have I offended. I have done no more to Caesar than you shall do to Brutus. The question of his death is enrolled in the capital. His glory not extenuated, wherein he was worthy, nor his offenses enforced, for which he suffered death.